World Service presents...
This is London.
Things are going here in the guest land.
Welcome to the Surf Europe podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Coming up in the show, topless women, bare knuckle boxing and dashing big wave surfers. No, not Ben Mundy's search engine history, but Frank Solomon's movie, Let's Be Frank. We catch up with a hitherto unknown surfer midway through doing what every aspiring surfer dreams of, gallivanting around the world on Red Bull's dime. Meanwhile, the usually amateurish Mona Mondi goes pro with celebrity surf whinges from the Quicksilver Pro France. It's not big, and it's not clever. It's the Surf Europe Podcast, Episode 5. Ben, what's been going on in the surf world? What's new?
We're in France right now. Or France, as some people call it.
Fifth Republic.
The whole surfing world is converging on this beautiful part of the world, and the surf's pumping, and it's about 38 degrees. We're drinking cold white wine after a long day of waves.
Because we're sick, cunts. Please hang up and try again. Let's go straight off with the part of the show we like to call... Ben, tell me about your first...
Bad. Well, I don't know if this is bad or... It's one of those that sort of does both. But I was just... actually in Hofsiger having a bit of a lunch sort of stroke afternoon. It was just me.
Who went, Ben?
It was just me and Ryan Callanan and Gillian Wilson, just a few of my mates really. Richard Dog Marsh, former professional surfer, Andy King, a super coach.
Right, the sun doesn't sound quite as good now.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah, anyway. And they made me, well, Andy made me tell the story to Ryan and Julian, who hadn't heard my story, where I dacked quite a well-known singer.
That's Australian slang for pantsing someone.
Pulling their pants down, that's right. Yeah. So I told the story. This guy, Sebastian, he's a bit of a pop star at the time. That led to a story by Richard Marsh, who said that he dacked his good mate Oki, Mark Okolupo, and they were on a bus in Yuki and a meet and greet, and when he pulled Mark's pants down, for some reason, Oki had tied the string of his tracksuit pants to his penis, and so that when he pulled it down, he didn't have any underpants on, it was all a bit awkward.
Yeah, right, wow. Yeah.
Paul, have you got anything?
Yes, my first beef is technology. Recent developments, so-called, or advancements, so-called, in technology... You know those little coffee sort of pellet things? It's like a little plastic thing with a foil lid, and you like one of them, probably like...
Nespresso, for example.
Yeah, it's probably like 200 litres of oil per cup of coffee to make that plastic. That's bad enough. I don't you have no truck with them. I just saw an ad recently for tea, for making fucking tea with the same system. Like, you can't put a tea bag in with some water and then throw that in your composter, and you've got to have a pellet. So that's shit, but, you know, the actual worst bit of technology I've noticed recently, started to see it last year, but I've seen quite a lot of them this year, is electric fat bikes. My particular beef for them to do a surfing is there's a place I like to surf, sort of near where I live, which is not really a secret, but you have to walk there, you have to sort of park, and you can't, there's no car park, you walk for a while. It sort of keeps the crowds down a bit, not that much, but...
Bit of sense of adventure.
Yeah, I normally take the dog and whatever. I jump in anyway, and the dog gets a walk, etc. But now, like, sometimes you sit in the lineup, and like, it's sort of the same crew that go there, basically, generally. It's people that don't want to surf stand there or born in or the pen or not. And fuck, you see a convoy of dudes coming up the beach on electric fat bikes. They, like, you can rent them, and they come along and just, they check every top spot around, up and down. I just like, when's it going to end? Like, what? Fucking hell.
Wankers!
What's your next?
There was a recent, it's done the rounds, an article by a quite well-known brain doctor from Hawaii. He was saying that an hour of surfing pipeline is the equivalent in terms of head trauma as an hour playing NFL, what the NFL players go through. So, I mean, a lot of people surf pipe, and obviously a lot of people must be getting some trauma. Hmm. And Owen Wright is obviously one of the best known examples where he suffered quite, not ex- still haven't actually clarified exactly what the extent of his injuries are, but I heard he's coming back. But yeah, I just that's bad. Every time I go out, surf, I mean, I don't surf pipe, mate, for that reason.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, the concussion's a big factor. So that's something to think about. It's pretty bad, Paul.
Yeah, in all sports, isn't it? Concussions, like, becoming... they're just realising how much they don't know about it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually a movie called Concussion, which is about the doctor in America who discovered the NFL concussion that the players were getting and leading to, like, all sorts of mental disorders and lots of cases of suicides. And he published all the results, and the NFL tried to shut him down because it would, you know, it reflect badly on the sport and kids wouldn't want to do it. The dicks. Paul, have you got anything?
Avocados.
obviously.
Avocados that don't ever ripe, they go from like...
They often got a little sticker that says, ready to eat.
They go from hard, you buy them when they're hard and think, okay, this will be right for a Thursday, the market's on Monday. It goes from hard to, like, rotten. There's no, like, ripe stage.
You've got, like... Yeah, there's not even a minute.
I fucked up the other day. I was in the supermarket, Leclerc, Cap-Breton. I saw a special on avocados. There's like a net of 5 of them.
Schoolboy era.
And like it worked, each one worked out like 40 cents. I was like, bloody hell, I'm paying like €2 a pop down the organic store. I'm in. I bought 2 sacks. And they're actually those ones where when you cut them in half, they've got those like concentric rings of like the brown stuff. It's almost like it tries to make a new, like, you know, the bit in the middle, the nut. And it's all fibrous and shit, and there's nothing you can do apart from throw them in the bin really angry.
That's super relevant. Super relevant to the world of surfing.
There's no such thing, kids, there's no such thing as a good deal on avocado.
Have you got something else apart from fruit-based?
You know those sort of situations that come up in life when you think of something, like, with sort of regret, like, just afterwards? Normally it's like...
Never happens to me, Paul.
You think
I always just say the exact right thing at the right time.
You think something good to say or do, like, sort of 30 seconds later when you're walking off, like, in the surf, someone's being a dick, and you think of a really good comeback, like...
Just while muttering to yourself.
While you're getting changed. Well, the other day, it was more just, I thought something that I should have... Anyway, I'm in San Sebastian. I went there for the film festival. The big film festival, the one with Oliver Stone and all these kind of people. Ken Loach. Been going for 65 years. Anyway, I went down there to watch a movie, the Bunker Spreckles movie. It's all right.
Yeah.
Not that good. But anyway, so I got there, parked the car. These things start on time. It's not like a surfing festival. Parked the car, went straight to the little square. And everyone's kind of milling around outside. There's a sort of smattering of your Basque Country pros and all the usual crew then. And there's a big tall guy, looked a lot like a sort of a hippie sort of legend from the 60s. He had a ponytail, big belt buckle, lots of sort of turquoise kind of pendant things. Some weird kind of head.
Don't give it away.
It was basically the guy from the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. They had a movie called Orange Sunshine on, and he was there to watch the Bunker movie. The Brother of Eternal Love, basically, they made something like 5 million acid tabs to, like, give them away. They were trying to, like, stop all wars by spreading love. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're it's huge, like, FBI thing, and all this stuff went
on.
Didn't
work out.
They raised money.
Weren't successful in the end.
No, they didn't stop a war. Oh. But basically, anyway, there he is. He's standing there with a few other people I know in a group near me, and he's like smoking a spliff, and he's like, anyone? And like, no one. And he kind of holds it like to us or me, goes, anyone? And I haven't tooted for a few years since I gave up. So I'm like, I know, thanks, mate, without really thinking about it.
I just
walk in the line to go in and go, oh shit, why didn't I get high with the Brotherhood of Eternal Love? What a great story for the grandkids.
Once in a lifetime opportunity, you just walked away from
And it. After the film, I sort of walking out behind him, I sort of felt like maybe like poking him and go, hey mate, you got any more of that? You got any more of that stuff, mate? But yeah, no, the moment had gone, alas. Ben, let's keep it upbeat and positive. What have you got that's...
Okay, what I'm liking is the fact that Peniche, the comp of Peniche, which is in November, I think it's the Mio Rip Curl Pro in Portugal. The backup venue is Nazaré. So if Super Tubes isn't pumping, which is 98% of the time, they've got the chance to stick the world's top 32 servers out in some pretty heinous shore break.
Do you think they listened to episode 1 of the podcast where I suggested that they should incorporate the Big Wave World Tour onto the CT? Do you think they've been listening to that?
Well, obviously.
I mean, I know Kieran is a subscriber, but...
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, no, they have. And as a result of your direct input, Yeah, they're going to hopefully see guys riding 12-foot Nazarenes on 6'2 step-ups. Brilliant. Which I'm quite looking forward to.
That is good.
Oh, I have got a bad, Paul. I've remembered a bad.
Ben, what have you got that's...
The death of surf satire. I mean, it wasn't a huge genre. It wasn't, you know, that well known, but I like to think I dabbled in it in my time. I think back in the Surf Europe days, I think you may have commissioned a few pieces that I think 80 people may have read. And,
the least influential surfers of all time.
The least influential surfers of all time. Probably one of the finest pieces of model of my career.
With a picture of Alana Blanchard as the clickbait. Yeah. More on Alana later on the podcast, guys.
And I read a piece, I think it was in Surfer. And it was about Kieran Perreault, actually. And it was some... it was so lame that they had to say it was surf satire at the end, which by its very nature, if you're making sure people understand that it's satire,
Was it written by Todd Prodanovich?
I'm not sure who wrote it.
It was, because I read it, because you sent me the link. It was. Name and shame.
Let's go more positive. Paul, what have you got that...
No place like home, Ben. Ian's your adopted sort of pre Article 50 of Brexit home. France has been amazing balls, not just lately, but like this summer was pumping 40 degrees, kind of 8 foot Riviera. The spring, it's just been kind of amazing all year. I was away a bit for the summer, I've been back for a couple of weeks, it's just been non-stop. It seems like it's sort of sunny every day, it's offshore at least half the day. Today, for example, all day, still offshore now, it's 6 in the evening, and it's just been pumping all the time.
And can I jump in on your good there? Because I always had a similar vein, and the banks, Paul. The whole beach is just a series of curves, in and out, and that just means there's no fucking crowds, because, and all those coops get taken out by the rip bowls. And France without the crowds is just an absolute delight.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
It's been really good. I'm just grateful. And I gave thanks today when I wrote a cheque for my tax foncier and my tax d'habitation. So I just felt like I'm like giving back into like the exchequer. Ben, what have you got that's...
Well, I think I might cross over. It's kind of on the same theme bit, but it's more the pros being in town.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because you had the same one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Right. We just sometimes these podcasts, you just align.
What's happened? What's your pro?
Well, yesterday, I was on a borrowed board, one of yours.
You borrowed my board, yeah.
And I got a wave. It's like one of your mini mail type ones that you write. I know, it was a 56-3, it was a brilliant board, big fat thing, it's got loads of paddling, and I had a big wave out the back, and I came in, and I just came down, and Rob Machado was out there.
Oh, no.
Our mate Rob.
Is this a good or a bad?
That's a good. He looked at me, and he saw he was going to get it, he thought he might get it, and he knew I was going to get it, and he went, and I ducked and did a little head dip, and he went, woo! Woo! That's how Rob Machado hurts you here. Woo! I think he just parted his hair and then went, woo!
He makes
sense. We just locked eyes and then I just rode off and I went, that's what happens in this part of the world this time of year. You just get sort of hooted by cool guys like Rob.
He makes my skin crawl.
That's bullshit. Why are you saying that?
I don't like him.
You're the only person that doesn't like Rob Machado.
He's a dick. I've got the opposite story. Am I going to tell the story now? This could be a bad.
Yeah, go on.
I'll try and keep
let's go crazy.
Sort of relatively brief. Basically, the spot was Uluwatu racetracks. The year was, I think it was 2007, about 10 years ago. I was there on a trip for Gravis. Remember Gravis?
Yeah, I remember Gravis.
We were on a Gravis trip. Anyway, obviously the mob, Rob the mob was there. Basically, we're at 7 in the evening, Ulu's, that racetrack section, and it was like going from not that good to sort of getting better all the time. Like every set
getting
better.
So tide's
going out and getting bigger. It started off as these little waves hugging the reef, kind of small and shallow and not very good, and then it was just getting... Anyway, it was only like, by the evening, there's like last light-ish, and there's only a handful of us out, maybe like four people, and it was pumping. So he gets away, like quite a long one, whatever, he's paddling back, and there's a bomb coming, everyone had got one, I was like, oh, it's me, I'm the Ulu, it's like the next wave that comes is me, the bomb comes, and I'm paddling like wide, it's like, you sort of to catch it, you know what I mean, it's kind of like,
I'm paddling away from the bar.
I'm paddling out to sea to take off to this kind of like perfect little peak section that's kind of foaming before it then goes mad. So here I am, and I'm I'm paddling, I'm on, it's a bomb, it's like golden light, the cliff, it's like a spiritual experience, like kind of purpley turquoise, amazing, whatever. And fucking, as I'm on, it's kind of like a crumbly, like a perfect easy takeoff of the gorgeous wall that basically, it went to Padang, it went like round the corner, anyway. And fucking Machado's paddling back out. I see his fucking stupid face. I can almost read his mind. He looked at me and was like, this is the guy's a kook. He's like pale. He's not seen by the way I was paddling. I could see into his soul and see what his evil mind was thinking. He paddled completely. If I had a GoPro in my mouth, he would have disappeared under my nose rocker. That's where he paddled and spun around on the white water, took off on the white water and like, I basically stake me, which is fine. I don't, you know, whatever. That's kind of the natural order of things. That isn't my beef. Okay, that's what he did. Everyone does it. All pro servers do it. That's probably why they're pro servers, because they get so many waves, because they can do things like that. Do you know what my actual beef was? After the wave, he fucking paddled back out, and there's another person in the line at the sort of, that I was with on my ship that's mates with him, and he saw that I knew him, and then tried to be all pally. I was like, oh, bro, yeah, man. It's just like, dude, you're fucking dead to me, Machado. You are dead to me. And that's it. I've maintained.
You're not dead to me, Rob.
I've maintained.
You are not Ben Muddy. You're not dead to me.
9 years later, I tell you what, he is well and truly off my Christmas card list still. Don't like him.
Don't like him.
Never
have.
Never. Never, never will.
Never will.
And he did, can I add, he did about sort of 25 of those fucking jazz hand, sort of top turn, really good turns he does to sort of little tubes forever on the my wave, the wave of my trip. Whatever. He stole it from me and I'll never get it back.
I don't think I've got any more to add. You can top my...
I'll beat your pro. I'll see your Rob Machado and I'll raise you an Alana Blanchard. So yesterday I was surfing at Guardian. So
top trumps.
A little bit north of the contest bank, Kudu. And I was out there with a couple of guys working for the WSL, actually. Because, you know, it's the kind of company I like to keep. And, yeah, this Alana basically sort of sparked up a conversation with me. She was kind of paddling, trying to keep up with me. I was on that board that I lent you later in the day, so you know, I was paddling pretty easily against the rip. And she was like, "Ah, so you checked anywhere else today?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't notice you were there, but you know, if you want to chat." I said I'd check Cap Breton because that's where I live. She's like, "Oh, I love that place." Like, just kind of basically trying to get him a good book.
This is fascinating.
I don't think she would have said that if I hadn't said I live there. She was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, I love that place." I was like, yeah. So, but now and then I watched the shred a couple of ways, and yeah, that's better than your shit, Rob Machado. The Ourself Over Podcast. Okay, joining us down the line right now is Frank Solomon, star of the new Red Bull blockbuster. Let's be Frank. What's going on, mate?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm stoked.
So, where are you right now?
I'm in Bundoran in Ireland, freezing my tits off.
Getting a few waves?
Yeah, we've had some epic waves there. We had a great day at Mali on Wednesday, and then some little mister slab yesterday, and then just some waves around here in Bundoran today. Pretty rad time, yeah.
You spent a lot of time there in Ireland, hey, Frank? You seem to be hanging out there loads.
Yeah, the last 3 years I've been coming here. I don't know, something about the cold water and not too many people that I really like.
Is it hard for you to walk down the street now that you're famous? Like, what's that like? do you have to wear, like, sunnies all the time or, like, a wig or something?
And do you get a bus for your groupies as well?
Yes, I wish, back to the grind, after the movie, back to hustling.
Yeah, so tell us, like, you just done a few, you were in London, right, for the film festival and then San Sebastian. Tell us about, like, the, obviously it just came out, a bit about the buzz and what you've been doing and your, you know,
yeah.
How's life changed?
Yeah, the first one was in LA, which was super cool. Keith and I, being like two South Africans, we were a little bit worried that no one would show up. So that was a really cool one. And then went from there back to South Africa, did one in Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, then went to London, and then went to Spain. And yeah, man, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty much just managing hangovers every night.
And Frank, for those people that haven't seen it, can you just describe, give us a brief synopsis of the film?
Yeah, it's like a... non-fictional take on my life, I guess. I'm not sure that it has a specific genre, but it's I guess kind of like a surf-related documentary.
Yeah, right. How many of the girls that were in it did you like sleep? Did you have sex with all of them, or just...
or even just a finger?
Yeah.
So I kind of
went
and I called them up, like, "Hey, I'm making this movie. Do you mind like being in it?"
Right.
But what did you guys think of the film?
Amazing.
It was pretty hard, though.
Yeah, yeah. I watched it on the Red Bulls, like just online, and I thought it was awesome. But what was really interesting was seeing how it's quite polarizing on opinions. You know, like all those, you know, the people that comment and stuff. Some people are like, "This is the best surf film ever." Some people are like, "What? This isn't a surf film."
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how do you read the comments or whatever? What was your take on it?
I don't read the staff comments as a rule, because they just seems to be like just a bunch of guys that say bad things about everything.
But, yeah.
No, I think the feedback, I was super stoked with it. You know, guys like Taylor Steele saying some really cool stuff, and that kind of stuff really means a lot.
Yeah, you can't take all those like negative things to heart too much, because Ben.
I don't think you can. If you make something that everyone likes, then you haven't really made something special or different.
Yeah, every time Ben writes an article and puts it online, he gets like really savage hate mail. But that's mainly just from his like mum and dad and kind of friends and family and stuff. He's just learned not to look at it.
I like Frank's approach. If somebody doesn't like it, to me, you're doing a good job, and people don't like it. That's the rule I live by.
Exactly. Yeah. Like. But, I don't know, I listened to this podcast, actually, Tim Ferriss one with Rick Rubin, and he's like, if half the people like it and half the people don't like it, then I consider it a success.
Yeah,
if
right.
Every single person likes it, then you haven't, like, made something edgy or something different, you know? So.
It was unique. And what did you learn through the process? What were your main kind of, what were the things you took out of doing that? It was like 3 years, wasn't it? It was a long
yeah,
stretch of your life. So what did you,
years.
What did you learn from it?
So I learned a lot of patience. A lot of times I just wanted to give up on the whole thing, and like I was like, "Flip, this is a nightmare, and everyone's gonna think it's stupid." And I guess I also learned the creative process is a super, like a really emotional process. And yeah, man, it was definitely a life changing experience.
Was it as much fun as it looked? Like it looked like you basically having the best time in the world ever. Like.
Yeah, some of those scenes were super fun. The fight scene was really fun to learn. Like that, I feel like I challenged myself, because I hadn't really done like a choreographed scene like that. You know what I mean? And to learn the acting moves, and then to be able to do it on the day, that was a really, really cool challenge.
Sweet.
And are you a bit more handy now with the
with your jukes,
with the fist deal with these trolls, mate? Are you a bit more confident?
Nah, I don't know. They're a bit cold right now, but nah. It was pretty funny. I was standing in that circle, like in the movie, you can see I'm like standing around all those guys, and they're all like a bunch of bouncers and stuff. And Peter and them were walking in with the other two guys. And when I was standing in the circle, those guys were like, "Oh, you faggot, little pretty boy." And I was like, "Yeah, nice to meet you." There's like 50 bouncers just yelling at me.
Awesome.
Pretty
classic. Sounds like my normal Friday night out.
Yeah, seriously, bro. You go to the club and everyone's just yelling at you.
So what's next for you? Is it like a surf kind of pro surf career, or do you want to get into like more acting roles, or what's coming up next for you, mate?
Yeah, I'm just kind of taking it as comes, not expecting anything. Like, I was just really stoked to be involved in such a cool project, and I mean I do acting, whatever can keep me like traveling and surfing and kind of, you know, doing what I'm doing. I'm really grateful to be able to travel and surf, so. Whatever can keep me on the road a couple more years, that I'm willing to do it, whatever that may be, surf related or not. I don't have any like specific big plans though.
We were just talking about, we spent some time in the booth with your mate Giggs.
You know, Giggs.
Giggs. And
yes.
Paul was saying that he described you as, can we say this? He was saying that you don't think too much when the big waves come, Frank. You were saying you're maybe a bit reckless.
He's brave but stupid. He's brave but stupid. That guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I just kind of just don't think too much about it. I'm trying to learn to have more like wave selection since I broke my back. I kind of saw in the movie I broke my back at Riley's, and since then I've tried to be a bit more selective. But I don't know. I'm just
Don't change. Nah, don't change, man.
I never in my life thought I'd be a pro surfer. Like, I went to university, I studied quantity surveying, I worked like 2 years, and so like this whole thing, the experience, like the movie, like Ben Harper writing music for it, it's all been like really overwhelming. Like nothing, I wasn't like the upcoming Geordie Smith or anything. You know what I mean?
But that's kind of, I think, what people are like kind of loved about it as well. Is just kind of, that's the whole part of the appeal. Is just. It's kind of pretty rad finding out about a brand new, even if it's a little bit of an alter ego or whatever, semi-fictional, it's still someone brand new that we haven't been watching their career since they were like 11.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, with the media these days, it is almost possible to make like some kind of career if you're passionate about it and really are willing to do something different. Like, you don't have to go the traditional route of surfing of contests and the QS and especially for big waves, there isn't really like a defined career path. It's like, cool, you want to surf big waves, but then what? Like, there's not like you're on the QS and then you're on the CT. And especially coming from South Africa with our rand and trying to travel, it's really tough, eh?
Yeah, but that's all history. Yeah, you're loaded down, mate, right? That's all like whatever.
I've had to do some dodgy things for money in my time, but that's what the movie doesn't even show the real stuff.
What were they, Frank? Come on, spill the beans on the podcast, mate. This is a forum. You can say anything you want on this podcast.
Nah, I'll have to save that for the next movie.
And so, people can watch that on. They can watch it online on Red Bull TV or on iTunes. They can buy it.
Yeah, it's on iTunes at the moment. You can just check out Let's Be Frank. It's in my. Let's Be Frank film on Instagram, and the link's in my bio on my Instagram too. So yeah, if you want to check it out. The main thing for the film is that I just hope people enjoy it and sit back and entertain. You know, that's when people see the comments and they get super technical about it. The whole point was just that you sit there and don't think about things for 50 minutes. We weren't trying to make like a life story, you know?
Yeah, it's pure entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. We just wanted people to be entertained and like have a bit of fun with it, not take it too seriously.
Well, you did that, mate. Well done. Thanks, it's been a real achievement.
Where are you guys at? In France at the moment?
Yeah, we're in Cap-Breton. Yeah.
I hope my boy John wins, bro. That'd be sick.
Yeah, he's got.
I'm back here for the world title.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. This. I suppose that's not a massive call because he's in with a shout. But nah, there's
it's surf's alright.
It's southwest France, like Ben was saying, the sun's out, it's warm, there's boobs on the beach, but there aren't really topless women chasing us around a stately home. So you win. Okay, well, knowing how keen Ben is to chase after cute surfer boys, we sent him out and about around the Quick Pro to see if he can get some moans from the world's best surfers themselves. Let's have a listen.
Just, yeah, I got Geordie Smith to moan at Monday. Just a quick moan. Anything you want to moan?
I don't know,
about?
I was moaning this morning because I kept stubbing my toe and I ended up surfing like way down there because I didn't want to have to walk all the way to the contest site. I was like, if I make it to here, I'm going to have hobbit feet by the time I get to the comp, so.
I found Ryan Callahan just eating an ice cream in the middle of Hossie Up. Get it off your chest, Ryan. Let's have a moan at Monday.
Yeah, two board bags everywhere. It's a nightmare. Just, I don't know, I just came from America and I had like 30 kilo board bags everywhere and had to drop the hire car off and get into a little bus where everyone was looking at you because they don't know what it is. They think there's dead people in there or something, but it's just a nightmare. Every time I touch them, I get really, like, sweaty and just have to like have a breather afterwards.
Maybe you've got too many surfboards. You ever thought about that?
If I just had less, it would be much easier, but it's not it's my job.
Okay, that was Ryan moaning about his job. Professional surfer.
Of late, I've noticed that generally the swells are pretty inconsistent, so less waves in the water, and the crowds have increased at my local beach, and me and my brother and my mates, we used to surf mid-morning at Narrabeen midweek, and get sessions that are pretty relatively uncrowded. And lately, it's been almost like a peak period, that mid-morning session, so I've had to move my uncrowded sessions to lunch, lunchtime. So that could be a bit of a winch for me.
And we're here with Andy King. Now, I was telling you, Andy, about Paul Evans, my co-host, and he had a bit of a beef with technology about the fat bikes up in the forest. And he was like, where's it going to end? But have you got anything to moan about, Andy, in particular about surfing or the world in general?
Oh, I just believe there is no destination. We've reached a tipping point. Reached a tipping point, like, where there's that many people that you eventually just go, well, fuck it. Like, all etiquette and all those human things go out the window. It's like being in a fucking Delhi train station. Have you ever been in one of those things?
No.
You've got people dry rooting you, basically. There's that many of them, they can't fit in anymore. And it's just, there's people trying to find a niche. Those things are just, it's out of the window. It's happened everywhere, and it's unfortunate. I can't believe they've even come up with a fat wheel sand bike to actually, that it's even intruded the culture of France. It's just, that's the end. It's all over.
Well, and do you feel any better for that, getting off your chest?
No, not at all. I'm even angrier.
I got Stu Kennedy here. He has this lossy seat, so it's, you know, but what you got anything you want to moan at Monday, get off your chest, Stu?
Oh, I'm going to have a little moan about how shitty the waves are right now, but it looked really good, but yeah, obviously when you lose your heat, you got to have a good old whinge.
How do you usually whinge after a heat loss? What's your typical kind of moan? What do you kick the dog, or
I usually get angry for the first 10 minutes and then get over it pretty quick, so we're past that 10-minute break, so...
Alright, don't go near it. Alright, nah, mate, that's a moan. Do you feel any better for it? Yeah. I feel a bit better, a bit lighter?
I feel way better.
Ah, good.
Thanks for getting that off my chest.
Ah, no, I'm glad to be helped, mate. I'm glad to help. Thanks for your time. Yeah, okay, I've got Laura Enova here, and she's going to have a moan at Monday. What's your whinge? What's your moan?
Well, I guess the major issue is that I just couldn't get to sleep last night, so I decided to take a sleeping tablet at about 1:30 or maybe like clocking on 2 in the morning, and so when I woke up at 7, I was absolutely a space cadet, and that's kind of how my day's been since I woke up, and I'm probably about to go have my third coffee now to see if I can turn the day around, but I mean, it's no major issue. I mean, there's bigger things in life going wrong, but yeah.
That's your
I'm a little space cadet right now.
You can't even say it. That's how space cadet she is. And do you feel a bit better for, you know, talking it through with me? Or
I have told a few people this morning. That's my problem, but I'm sure a little French espresso or two could help me out.
All right. Okay. Well, good luck
with
that.
Maybe a
vino later. Maybe always a vino. That solves all problems in the world.
It does, honestly.
There's no problem that a vino can't solve.
Never. It is the absolute lifesaver of all.
Okay, that ended on a positive note, so that's good. Yeah, we're good.
Still all positive.
Well, Ben, Simon Anderson, eh? Poor guy, you got to feel for him.
Yeah.
Instead of surfing mid-morning, he's had to move his sessions to lunchtime.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of like the kids of Aleppo, Syria, in a way, isn't it? In terms of inconvenience, it's a bit like being buried under the rubble of a 12-story building that's the Russians have just razed to the ground. So, yeah, poor Simon. That's about all we've got time for in this episode. I'm Paul Evans saying, don't subscribe to my opinions, subscribe to my podcast. And he's Ben Mondi saying,
get a dog up, yeah.
The Ourself Europa Podcast.